Good evening. You're listening to the service from Wallington and St. Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Maundy Thursday, the 1st of April. The service is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Though we are scattered in houses, flats, households, still we can gather in God's heart. We cannot gather as God's household, yet we can still find ourselves together in God's heart and love. Alone, with family, with just our pets, we begin to understand the weariness, the uncertainty, the questions which sat around that table long ago with Jesus and his friends. We are still God's beloved, who is with us in these moments, these days, these nights. We are still the followers of Jesus, who would wash our hearts of our doubts and fears. We are still comforted by the Spirit, who blesses us this night. Our first hymn, A New Commandment I Give Unto You, to love one another as I have loved you. Let us pray. Isolated, enslaved by fears and anxieties, wondering what the next day would bring, they gathered, in their homes, some alone, some together, on that night so long ago, for a meal which they did not understand, and in a moment which would change them for ever, God who rescues. Fearful, worried, isolated from their families, friends and neighbours by events beyond their imagination, they gathered so long ago, for a meal which they thought they understood, but which you transformed that night, Jesus, who knelt to serve them, to prepare them for that moment which would change them for ever. On this night, isolated, alone, held captive by fears we don't understand, separated from neighbours, friends and families. Yet we gather, scattered where we are, drawing near to one another in your heart, Spirit who shares these stories with us. Those nights, this night, every night, with our ancestors who dared to believe, who live through their fears and doubts, we dare to follow, foolishly and faithfully, God in community, Holy One. Amen.
A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 21 to 30. Jesus predicts his betrayal. After Jesus had said this, he was deeply troubled and declared openly, "I am telling you the truth, one of you is going to betray me." The disciples looked at one another, completely puzzled about whom he meant. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was sitting next to Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him and said, "Ask him whom he is talking about." So that disciple moved closer to Jesus' side and asked, "Who is it, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I will dip some bread in the sauce and give it to him. He is the man." So he took a piece of bread, dipped it, and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Hurry and do what you must." None of the others at the table understood why Jesus had said this to him. Since Judas was in charge of the money bag, some of the disciples thought that Jesus had told him to go and buy what they needed for the festival, or to give something to the poor. Judas accepted the bread and went out at once. It was night. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Judas reflects. "Do what you have to do," he told me. And I realized then, as he looked at me, from the expression in his eyes, that he knew full well what I'd been up to and understood precisely what I had planned for later that evening. Call me a fool, but I thought until then I'd covered my tracks, played the part of a doting disciple to a T. And I was right to a point, for my fellow apostles fell for it hook, line and sinker. You should have seen their faces when Jesus suddenly turned during supper and solemnly announced that one of us would betray him. "Who is it, Lord?" they gasped. "Surely not I." For they actually believed it might be as much one of them as me. Not Jesus, though. I realized the moment he looked at me that there was no pulling the wool over his eyes. He saw through the charade, behind the lamb to the wolf, beneath the dove to the serpent, and suddenly I was ashamed. Sickened by what I was doing, disgusted at what I'd become. I should have stopped it there and then, confessed everything before them all and begged for mercy, but I didn't. I was too proud, afraid of losing face, terrified of what Caiaphas might do to me if I failed to deliver the goods. So I slithered out of the room, leaving the rest of them wide-eyed in disbelief. It still wasn't too late, even then. I could have called a halt to the whole business. I only wish I had. But I didn't. I led the soldiers into the garden and greeted Jesus with a kiss, the last revolting act of a repulsive evening. It was bad enough betraying my friend, but what made it worse was that we'd eaten together such a short time before. He'd washed my feet, shared bread and wine, kept faith with me to the very last, despite everything. If he'd cursed me, accused me, rebuked me, it would have made it easier. If he'd only shown some sign of resentment, maybe then I could have lived with myself, knowing he wasn't so perfect after all. But there was none of that. A hint of sorrow, perhaps, but apart from that, only love, compassion, forgiveness. He knew what was happening, yet it made no difference. He knew I was leading him to his death, and he carried on regardless. Why? You tell me. I only hope he had more idea what he was doing than I had. Our next hymn. When my love to Christ grows weak.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 1 to 14. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled, "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
A temple policeman reflects. Why didn't he escape while he had the chance? That's what I can't work out. He had only to melt away into the shadows, slip quietly off into the darkness, and we'd have missed him for sure, our quarry once again slipping through our fingers. Right fools we'd have looked then. But luckily for us, it wouldn't work out that way. Don't ask me why, for I still can't make sense of it. But for some reason he actually came looking for us, determined apparently to give himself up. Was he fed up, perhaps, with the constant harrying? The knowledge that we were always there, plotting behind his back, waiting for the chance to bring him down. Some have said so, yet he never appeared troubled before, our attention seemingly of no importance to him. Whatever it was, though, the fact is he took the initiative and we were taken aback, such assurance the last thing we'd expected. You should have seen us. Enough men and weapons to bring down an army. And there he was, surrendering without a murmur, even rebuking that hot-headed disciple of his for taking a swipe at Malchus. It was astonishing. Yet that's how it continued. No argument, no resistance, no attempt to defend himself, not even when he stood before Pilate, his life on the line. He submitted willingly, almost eagerly, like a lamb led to the slaughter. Well, we achieved what we were sent to do. We got our man where we wanted him, nailed for all to see to a cross. Yet somehow it doesn't feel right. The whole business leaving a strange taste in the mouth. For the truth of the matter is this, we didn't take his life from him as we'd planned. He gave it to us.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 19 to 24. The high priest questions Jesus. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have always spoken publicly to everyone. All my teaching was done in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the people come together. I have never said anything in secret. Why then do you question me? Question the people who heard me. Ask them what I told them. They know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the guards there slapped him and said, "How dare you talk like that to the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have said anything wrong, tell everyone here what it was. But if I am right in what I have said, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Annas reflects. Angry? You bet I was. Wouldn't you have been? It beggared belief the things this man had said and done. Violating the Sabbath, flouting the scripture, contradicting our teaching, presuming even to forgive sins. Who did he think he was? The Son of God or something? I was seething, barely able to restrain myself as he stood before me. So when one of my men lashed out and struck him across the face, let's put it this way, I made no attempt to intervene. It wouldn't have been so bad had he been a priest or a rabbi. At least then he'd have some claim to authority. But he wasn't any of these, was he? Just some self-styled teacher from Galilee, without even the first idea about the finer points of the law. Yeah, was he sorry when they dragged him in? Was there any sign of remorse? Even a hint of regret? Not a bit of it. Blatant defiance, more like, a total disregard for his spiritual betters. I'll give him one thing, though. He made no attempt to duck the issue as some might have done, no cowering behind half-truths or lame excuses. We'd been prepared for that, even hauled in some false witnesses just in case. But it was clear they wouldn't be needed. This man happy, apparently, to condemn himself out of his own mouth. That's one thing I can't understand. He made it easy for us. Almost too easy. As though he wanted it all to happen. As though he welcomed the prospect of death. It wasn't just the trial that set me thinking. But before that. Why, for example, he came to Jerusalem in the first place. He must have known the knives were out for him. And why he waited there in the garden after Judas slipped away into the darkness. Did he really have no idea we'd set him up? Perhaps he was just teasing us, believing God would deliver him at the last. Or did he expect the mob to rise up in rebellion, to take us by storm and set him free? Well, if he did, he showed no sign of it. It's a mystery to me, I have to confess. And there are times when I catch myself thinking we were the ones set up that night, not him, that for all our scheming, he was the one who finally called the tune. I'm wrong, of course, I must be. For where did he get him? Off to Caiaphas, off to Herod, off to Pilate, off finally to the cross and that ghastly, grisly end. Not even Jesus could have wanted that, could he? Let us pray. God's love for the world has been revealed in Jesus Christ, who certainly loved us to the uttermost. Jesus, Saviour and Lord, who at his last meal with his disciples gave them and us that new commandment. Love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Merciful God, we confess that so often our discipleship has been weak, when we have failed to serve as Jesus served. Forgive us. When we have failed to love one another as Jesus loves us. Forgive us. When we have been happy to proclaim our devotion to Jesus with our lips and then denied him by our actions. Forgive us. Merciful God, empower us by your Spirit to be steady and true to you in every time of trial, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The good news, therefore, is this. In Jesus Christ we are loved and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our final hymn. From heaven you came, helpless babe. The Servant King.
And turn.
good night, and God be with you.